pray for me teaching Sunday school here this morning. So I'm going to review my last lesson just for a few minutes, and then we'll pray and get started on the lesson for this morning here. So last time, for you, those of you that were here, you remember maybe that I was talking about revelationship. And that's not really a word. That's not in the dictionary. That was just my word to say a relationship based on receiving revelation from God. And it is so important that we have this constant flow of revelation from Him. We need to get into a position where we have that. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world, Brother Benham said from Exposition of the Church Ages. And I had mentioned my dream that I had a couple years ago about that pond out here outside the church. There was not a parking lot, but there was a pond there in my dream. And I was walking around and around this pond. And as I said last time, I was throwing in handfuls of sort of like meal, like cornmeal or something like that, something for food, and then oil. And as I was walking around and around this pond, there was three people, three different characters, interacting different ways with this pond, this water of the word, I would say it would represent the word. And the little boy there on the right was just playing, kind of playing in the pond, jumping in and out, sort of like in church, out of church, back and forth, up and down, in and out. The young lady, a little more mature, she wasn't a little girl like that in the picture, that's the best picture I could find, but she was more like a young woman, sitting on this slide, never getting in the water, but always there. Sort of like she was always there at the pond, but not ever fully getting in. Sort of like a borderline believer, if you will. But then the main character that I observed that was so profound is this young lady that was always submerged in that water. The entire dream that I never saw her surface from the water. I never really fully saw her like come out of the water because I couldn't really tell about her appearance exactly other than that she was a young woman. And she was always very attentive to me passing around this pond, dumping in this basically word in revelation, if you will. And she represents the true believer, the bride, always there, not always just at church, but absolutely, always with the word, always seated in heavenly places in Christ, always ready to receive, always with a good attitude, and just constantly locked into this relationship, this revelationship, receiving the word of God. And this is from Brother Bob. I've been wondering if my font is big enough. I keep trying to up my size. Can y'all see that in the back? Pretty good. Good. Then you begin to know Him. It's not just something that you've heard about, but you know Him. It's a deep internal change, a complete shift of your nature. Now, the new birth, let's not get this wrong. The new birth is a start of your regeneration. You're going to begin to grow in the stature of perfect man. That's from Brother Bob, October last year. And the last sermon of the year, last year, the Washington Night Service, Brother Andrew gave us this commission to keep walking. Simply all I'm saying in the last lesson, and all I'm going to talk about this lesson, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for letting us get to be here, Lord, once again this morning. Thank You for Your presence here, and I pray You bless this lesson. Let it be a help to Your people here and to those who may hear it later. Be with all those who couldn't be here, Lord, and give us understanding of Your word, and just help me to get this across, this thought that You've given me, I pray, in a way that would be uplifting to Your bride. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Love Lesson Part 12, The Pool. Not getting into first, second, third pool, nothing like that. I'm just simply talking about this great attractive force, if you will, this attraction between God and us, or us and God, back and forth. And it's good to do your daily Bible devotions and read your Bible. And matter of fact, that's a big part of this. Matter of fact, this really won't happen. What I'm fixing to talk about won't happen if you're not doing that. So that's very important. And being a church every service and listening to sermons, meditating on the Word of God. But then at some point you come to this mature state where you are locked in. You're in that revelationship and this sort of gravitational bond between you and Christ. And that's what I'm going to get into in this lesson. Keep doing that until this pull that's been leading you, this pull goes all the way back to not only when you were converted to Christ, to being a Christian, but even back to as far back as you can remember. I like everybody to take time, meditate on your life, and think back to your earliest memories of even a toddler, maybe 4 years old, 3 years old, as far back as you can remember, and start to think about what led you to your conversion and led you all the way to where you are today. Because Christ didn't just start dealing with you when you were converted. He dealt with you since you were a child, since you formed conscious memories. You can begin to see, in my own example, that was Christ and my grandma when I was 4 years old that led me to read the Bible, that taught me to read the Bible and pray. I said, Lord, that was you, wasn't it? It was him. And that would come back to me at 15, and there he was again when I started reading my Bible every day because my grandma taught me that. And that was Christ and my parents that took me to church every Sunday and had Bible study and prayer when I was growing up. That was Christ in all both sets of grandparents on both sides. It influenced me in so many ways. So think about how Christ influenced you. Well, I like to look at people's lives and study people's lives and think about your little seemingly unimportant details of your life that are important because Christ is in that leading you. One of my favorite people to look at is Gabby because her life is so far out away from Christ. It's not such a surprise that I would be serving the Lord today because I was raised in church. She was raised completely away from God by alcoholics that weren't even fit to be parents. The social services took them, her and Jackie, her sister, from their biological parents, gave them to Uncle John. At about when Gabby was 10 years old, Uncle John said, I don't want them. Took them back to social services, dropped them off, packed their suitcases and dropped them off. Said, y'all have them. So they were orphans from then on till Gabby was 17. And all that time she believed in God, and yet he was drawing. There was this pull. He was drawing her, but she didn't serve him. She didn't per se love him, but she was praying and said, God, give me a family. And when he did, he gave her this loving, godly family, and she saw something real, and that was God pulling her through that family, that message family that adopted two sinner girls that didn't even know the Lord, a message family that God would have them adopt two sinner girls that don't even know the Lord and bring them into their home, not as foster kids, as adopted kids, and that they would, well, at least Gabby, anyway, would give her heart to the Lord and serve him. That was Christ all the way through that journey. So I always like to relate this to holy matrimony, as it so perfectly does. Holy matrimony is such a blessing and a privilege that you can see, those of you who are married to the Lord, you can look at your marriage and see so much about Christ, about the character of Christ and the love of Christ portrayed in this union, this holy union between man and wife, instituted by God. And if it's done right, you know, it shows you so much about the Lord. That's where this thought came from what I'm going to talk about today. It actually came from me thinking about Gabby the other day. And then I realized this relates so much to our walk with the Lord. So now that I got you in suspense, let's actually get into it here. So, from Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen very closely to this few slides of Brother Benham's quote here. But you find it's that the girl that you love, there's something about her. As soon as you see her, you know you love her. You think, oh, if I could just only get one date with that girl. Well, finally you do, and you think it would satisfy that feeling, but it doesn't. And then you think, if I could go with her steady, that would do it. Finally, you get to go with her steady. It doesn't. If she would just let me kiss her, I know Brother Ben didn't believe in premarital kissing, okay? I don't know. Anyway, she would just let me kiss her goodnight sometime, that would do it. But finally, that happens, and it doesn't. Well, she would marry me. I know that would do it. It doesn't. There's this longing, this pull between you and your spouse that started small maybe from the beginning. It keeps getting greater and greater and greater. And after maybe 10, 20 years of marriage, if that is nurtured and taken care of and done right, that will actually increase. It will not diminish. It will actually become greater and greater till you can't get enough of each other. Even family relationship, you love her so much, feel like you could pull her all the way around through you, reach back and pull her again and trying to, that's a rude expression, I didn't mean like that, but I mean, what I'm trying to say is you love her, love her, love her, and there's no place you can find. What is it? She's part of your soul. She's part of you. That's right. And that's that. If that's the way God is, now we're getting into our thought for the day. When you come and find Christ in your heart, there's no place you can stop. You just keep moving on. This meeting that thing that I made it, my slides too big, my font, it got cut off there. But point is, you start with your daily devotional, just reading the Bible every day. And that's what I did at 15 years old. I said, Lord, I'm going to read the Bible every day. And that's it. I just did my daily duty for for years and years and years and years. And it got to where that wasn't enough. And then I came into the message at 17 and then kept reading the Bible and the message every day for many, many years. Still wasn't enough. And now it's just like every waking moment. I'm meditating on the Word of God, listening to sermons, worshiping the Lord, reading my Bible, listening to my audio Bible, and so on. Like Brother Dale, all he ever did, his whole life was dedicated to this. When you get locked into this gravitational pull, like between two celestial bodies, like two stars that we're going to talk about, you get locked in so tight to where there's nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. There's nothing that can come between you. There's not a devil in hell that can stop you from believing the message, from believing the Bible, and from walking with the Lord. Nothing. There's not a woman on this earth that could deter me from my love for Gabby. Not a woman that I could ever encounter that could sway me from my love from her. That's the type of thing I'm talking about in marriage, and I'm talking about that in your walk with the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I believe Brother Branham said that could have been millions of years. Schofield speculates that might have been millions of years in Genesis 1, where it said in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, period.
Right.
Doesn't specify how much time there, period. But the earth was without form and void. So there was this time before creation, before God really began doing the days of creation, I mean. Before that part, there was this time. And there was this time in your life before your conversion, before God really dealt with you on a more intimate level, that he was ooing to you, calling you, brooding over your life as you were yet a sinner and didn't even love him, didn't know him, didn't care about him, maybe didn't even know of him. And yet he would brood over you like that, like over the face of the waters of the earth. And there you sat, what would one day be a bride of Christ, started back here in darkness and sin and unbelief. And he would yet call through your grandma, through your sibling, through your friend, through your coworker, through somebody, through a book, or through, you know, through the Bible, etc. And there is that scripture again, the earth was without form and void. You, our earth, was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God finds us as sinners, broods over us, coos to us to lead us to salvation. He leads us to through trials exactly to where he wants us. This love, this pull, it leads us through all those things of life. It leads us, and it's not by chance. None of it's by chance. Gabby went through some awful things in those years of being a foster kid, nobody wanting her. She was tossed from family to family, never really having a home, and saying, God, just please give me a family. Please give me a home. That's all I want. And boy, he did when it came the right time. But in all that time, there was a purpose and a meaning to every bit of that.
Right.
Early in our journey, it's easy to be deterred. My early time, I was going to say here, my early time in the message, I was just trying to figure out if this was even right. I wasn't locked in. There was no, like, me and Christ really that one. I was just trying to figure out if this is even right. This new thing called the message. I was like, Lord, just show me where you want me to be. I was at the Baptist church on Sundays for a while and coming here on Wednesday nights, kind of back and forth. But now I'm locked in. There is absolutely no uncertainty. It's like, Brother Bannon preached convinced and concerned. Once you're really convinced, you're concerned and you're perseverant, as he preached. Philippians 1, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Everything God does, he begins and then he finishes it. If you keep going on with the Lord, there's that big if, and that's up to you. If you keep going on with the Lord, he starts it and he finishes it. He's Hebrews 12, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't know if y'all have seen this before, but James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Well, there's a distinction there. There's a good and there's a perfect. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there's a reason he did not just say every gift is from God. If it wasn't that distinction, he would just say every gift is from above. But there's a good and a perfect. So what's the distinction? So if you look up in the original Greek, good means pleasant, agreeable to the senses, pleasant and higher nature, excellent, rich, valuable, but especially like the word agreeable. At the beginning of your journey, at your conversion, you're good. Okay, you're agreeable. You're saying amen to the word, and as long as you keep amen in the word, every time you see more, you'll amen that word and walk into more. And then he shows you more light and you'll walk into more. On to your day of perfection. Here a little, there a little. You know, partial to perfect realization, if you will. You keep on going. You're coming to perfection. But that perfect there means brought to its end, finished, complete, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, that which is perfect, okay? So there's a start and a finish, like the earth. Genesis 1, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Didn't say perfect. Now, was it flawed? I don't believe it was flawed. Was it an error? I don't believe there was anything God could do in error, but it wasn't complete. There was something yet to be complete. God wanted to form himself into mankind and finish his creation by being part of man. He wanted to become man. He wanted to be human, be one with us. So there was this, everything that God saw, he made, it was good. And that there, if you look up that good, again, original Hebrew means good, pleasant, agreeable. There's more to it, though. There's more to the story. There's more he's doing, making himself a part of his creation. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I have that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows your end of your journey. But he knows here you are down here at the start. He sees the entire thing, and he knows exactly how to get you to that perfect end, oneness with him, being part of the bride of Christ. It's only up to us to just keep going with him. Keep walking. Keep moving. Ephesians 2, and you have he quickened who were back here, remember, our past life, dead in trespasses and sins, where in a time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, what am I talking about? This whole lesson, this pull, this love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly place in Christ, that in the ages to come might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Before our conversion, we were dead in our sins and unbelief, yet he called us, yet he drew us, he cooed to us.
Right.
I don't know if y'all know this, but I love stuff about space, and I don't know if anybody's ever heard of a binary solar system. Our solar system is a single star solar system. That's all we've ever known. We see one sunrise every day and one sunset. We have one sun that hosts all these planets orbiting about it. Did y'all know that there are solar systems in the universe that have two or more suns orbiting around each other in the center of their solar system? And there are planets orbiting those two suns. There can actually be three or four or five. As a matter of fact, Polaris, I believe what we call the North Star, as I understand it, has either three or five stars orbiting about each other. It's not just one star. I guess that's why it's so bright. The point is, there are stars interlocked in this gravitational bond, this sort of celestial dance through all of time that they're just dancing about each other, locked in. They can't get away from each other if they want to. They're always pulling toward each other as they revolve, as they orbit around each other, around and around, and these other planets orbiting about them at the same time. But all the while, they're orbiting around and around each other, always pulling so hard to get to each other. Yet they can never get enough of each other. They can never get to each other. And that's like us in Christ. This is what occurred to me the other day. Like me and Gabby are so in love that there's this constant pull, and I can never get enough of Gabby. If I had 100 years, I could never get enough time with her. That's how much I love her. After 17 years of marriage, I love her more than I did when I started. That's what occurred to me the other day, and I thought, how much us in Christ, that we're so in love with him that we can't get enough of him. There's not enough time in the day to spend enough time with him. That you want his word more than anything. You're willing to give up sleep and food and family time and everything for him. That's what I'm talking about. That's the whole lesson. So if you don't get anything else to say, that's it. Being locked in with Christ. These solar systems are actually possibly, they say, more abundant than single star solar systems. These are actually a frequent thing. It's not a rare thing in our universe. That they say possibly 50% or more solar systems have more than one star, and so it's actually a pretty common thing. So nothing can deter us from this love with Christ. When you come to this position, there's no more swaying. You're not fickle. You're not double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you're that way, you're that little boy jumping in and out of the pond in my dream, or that young lady that's just kind of on the edge, never getting in. But when you're fully submerged in that water, you're fully locked in this gravitational pull, nothing's going to move you. No devil in hell. I get that quote from Brother, I think it was Brother Brady that preached here many years ago. And by that time, I was locked in. I was saying, Lord, I'm not going nowhere. And he, I think it was somebody from Jamaica. I think it was maybe Brother Brady. I can't remember. And he stood up here and said, I don't see a devil in hell that can stop me from believing this. And I was like, yeah, I'm there. I know what you're talking about. Nothing can stop you. And can never get enough of him. Never fully satisfied. Now, Laodicea, our age we live in, the Bible talks about we have need of nothing because we're rich and increasing goods. We have all these great things at our disposal, Amazon, and you can get anything you want on Amazon delivered to your door. You can get your groceries delivered to your door. You just have, like that rich young ruler, your barns are full and overflowing. You're building more barns, and you think, but you don't make time for the most important thing, for Christ. Amen. And that love for him that needs to be nurtured. And we know Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Here we are again with that love. To them who are called according to his purpose. Y'all are very familiar with that scripture. So I'm going to try to close up with this last few slides here. Meditate on your past life all the way to the present. Do this often. Say it out loud when you're alone sometimes. Say it out loud if you need to. Tell yourself your life story. And watch how the Bible relives itself in your life. This is a living Bible. Oh man, I wish I had time to say this. But, you know, watch how you can see Christ moving, brooding over you in your past, cooing to you and bringing you to himself, to salvation, and ultimately to redemption. Consider the hardships you had to face in life when you were neglected, abused, mistreated. Pay attention to the detail, not overlooking the smallest, most simplistic events. God hides in simplicity. I'll say it just for a brief moment. The trial with Iva that Gavin and I went through, we were walking in Psalm 23 and Mark 4 at the same time. Psalm 23, at the end of that trial, when the Lord came, and I realized then that he was there the whole time. We were in the consultation room, 2 a.m., waiting to meet the doctor, right before she came in and told us our baby is dying. She was the third person that said that, the third medical person that affirmed for us that, yeah, your baby's dying, okay? This is not a good situation you're in. Well, right before that, I'd open my Bible to read it, and I landed for my daily reading on 1 John 4, he who feareth not made perfect in love. I don't want to confuse anybody, but there was two things happening there. Psalm 23, the Lord prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies were fear and death. I was fearful about my baby dying, and those two enemies, fear and death, were lurking about. Yet in the midst of that, I opened my Bible, sat down to do my daily Bible reading. And what was allotted to me for that day, my portion for that day, was 1 John 4. He who feareth not made perfect in love. That's when I realized I had what I needed, that spiritual food in due season, that meat that I needed for that moment to overcome that trial. Right. So there's Psalm 23. At the same time, see, the Bible is reliving itself. Mark 4, Jesus was asleep in the back of the ship. He was there. He was asleep, waiting to see what the disciples would do. Would they believe in the storm being tossed about in the winds and waves? Would they believe or would they doubt? And they doubted. And they came woke him up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He rebuked them, calmed the winds and the waves. And in our trial, day number two or three, right before the apex, right before the climax, that night, that Saturday night, we left the hospital to come to church for the Bible study. Baby dying. Thought she'd be dead when we got back. That's how close she was. She was hanging on by just a hair. And when we were going out the door, I said, Lord, where are you? You know my baby's dying. Where are you at? Same thing the disciples said. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He was asleep. I didn't see him moving at all. He was asleep in our trial. And the first thing he did, 2 o'clock in the morning, when we were waiting to meet the doctor in that consultation room at Eggleston, he comes in the room and I'll say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He comes in the room and gives me my rebuke like he did the disciples, because 1 John 4 is my rebuke. He who feareth is not made perfect in love. That was a rebuke to me. I wasn't where I needed to be with the Lord. I wasn't perfectly, confidently resting in him that all be well with the baby, even if she dies, everything's fine. That's what I was lacking. So that was my rebuke. And then peace be still was, the doctor comes in and says, your baby is dying, but right now she's stable. Was that not peace be still? She was stable. She was hanging on by a thread, but she wasn't going down. So he literally rebuked me like he did the disciples in John and Mark 4. And then he said, peace be still, to the winds and the waves that looked like it was in any moment going to take her. Brother Wade from February 2nd, just about a week ago. Your life starts with a saying. somebody told you about Brother Branham. Somebody told you about Jesus Christ. You might not have known, you might not know nothing. You just heard something, a saying, a deed. You started coming to church. You started trying to do the things. Then when you get born again, what? It become a doctrine. It become what you live by. You're bound gravitationally to Christ. You're bound. Nothing separates you from him anymore. You musicians, go ahead and come, please. And then what? The word's going to be incarnate in me and in you. Listen, the doctrine we have today is what's going to take us out of here. Nothing else. There's not a new doctrine from another preacher or a new sermon coming or a new... It's here. Yes. It's just getting in and becoming it. Bolder, greater than Solomon is here. Now, they said Jonah was backslidden. This is Brother Bob was preaching the other day about Jonah, and Gabby and I were talking about Jonah. Was he really backslidden or not? Well, it depends a lot about perspective. If you're looking at God's perfect will, yeah, he looked backslidden. But if you look at God's permissive will, how God brought him around, though he was going the opposite direction, God brought him right back around to where he needed to be, and really used the trial, or used that, I guess you could say, disobedience for a benefit, and to really get his purpose across. So God, when we were maybe backslidden, or maybe not even serving the Lord, yet he was using all those little things we went through. Okay? And I believe I'm going to close up there, because... You see that God made it all work out right. You know the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You heard God's voice through all of your sin, through all the things you went through in life, in your past life. God was cooing to you and brooding to you. At some point, you began to hear him. At the start of your journey, perhaps you did not desire the Lord that much, but as you mature, you should want him more than anything. And be willing to forsake everything for him. Luke 14, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, sister, or mother and wife and children, brethren, sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. As Brother Michael was saying last Sunday or so, he was talking about that hate doesn't mean despise, it means like love less. Our love for the Lord should be so much greater than our love for even spouse or anybody else. So we're in the celestial dance. Let's get locked into that celestial dance with the Lord, that we never separate from him, never let anything come between us again. God bless you.